There we go. Great. All right. So good morning again. And so as we think about battlefield tactics, this lesson plan that I tried to put together, let me tell you what we were trying to achieve. If we do this right, if we work together, this is a facilitated class, by the way. If you've ever been in a class that I teach, I will give you some ideas and some thoughts, but I'm going to expect you to work out and think through ideas and answers, and because you've got, in many cases, you've been in this battle longer than I have in some cases, and other cases, I'm sure you've had more successes than I have, and so I need your input and ideas about this. But these are the objectives that I try to build this course around. The first one is to help us learn about the enemy. Does that feel uncomfortable for you to call anybody an enemy? It does to me, anyway. I mean, it's just not a word I use to refer to people, but it is the word that Jesus uses to refer to the devil and Satan and his those who are on his side. So one of the things we want to spend some time with in this series is talking about the enemy and his schemes. Schemes is a word, again, very biblical word I drew directly out of the scriptures we're going to look at, because it talks about specific schemes that Satan uses. And then, as I mentioned before briefly, I really will consider this class successful if we talk about practical tactics to counter those attacks. I tell you, we can talk a lot about concepts and ideas, but unless we make them practical, it's interesting topics, but it may not help me day to day. So I'm really hoping that we can talk very specifically about practical things that can help us counter those attacks. And I'm going to give away right at the very beginning the whole conclusion that I'm drawing in this class. And that is, I believe there is a very specific thing God has given us that will always address and take on directly Satan's attacks. And that's this idea of worship. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that means and how that means, how we apply that in the day-to-day life. You know, when you think about this concept of battle, what scripture comes to your mind instantly? Come on. What are you thinking? The armor of God, right? The armor of God. And in fact, this course is built around that concept in terms of some of the things that we should be doing around the armor and how we put on the armor of God. But I don't know about you, but I'm not sure, other than I could probably quote them all, I'm not sure I know what it means to put on the belt of truth or the breastplate of righteousness. So we're going to talk about some of those things as we go through the class. But the idea here is we're going to talk about this battle we're in. We're going to start today figuring out if you think we're actually in a battle. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. And then look for some practical, real-life solutions. I'm going to try a couple things a little different than I've done in the past. If things go the way I hope they will, and in about the third week of the workshop, I'll be providing you with some other things you can do if you choose to during the week. Something that can hopefully reinforce and remind you of the topics and the content we've been talking about. And if God blesses us the way I hope He will in this class, those activities you do will be a very practical thing on a weekly basis that will help you address some of these schemes. Again, I'm just telling you, I need this course more than anybody, so that's why I've put this together to talk about. Any thoughts or questions about the objectives? It makes sense? Sounds a little bit interesting? Maybe a little challenging? Well, we'll see. we will continue to keep coming back to some theme scriptures. Theme scriptures associated with the battle. We'll talk about some of those today. A lot of scriptures talking about the victory. It's the great thing about this battle. It's already won. Doesn't feel that way day to day, though, sometimes. At least in my life, it feels like I'm still fighting that battle, even though I know it's already won. But we're going to spend some time talking about the battle. We'll spend some time talking about the victory. And then, I have this idea, if I can pull things off, and there's some technical issues that may be in the way of this, but what I'd like to be able to do, based on the different topics that we will be talking about throughout the workshop, is to provide you in electronic format, a devotional type of support for you throughout the week. Things that may remind you about the topics and help you to apply the ideas, but that won't start till about week 3. Okay, so does it make sense so far? Okay, and that's what we'll do. We'll talk specifically at the end of class this morning about what each week we'll address and how we'll go through that. But let's just start talking just a little bit about this idea. You know, there are a lot of ways to describe the Christian life, right? There are a lot of ways that the Christian life is described. What are your thoughts about this idea of the Christian life as a battle? Do you think does that describe the Christian life effectively, or am I just being very pessimistic and negative about that for this course? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Was that a hand or was that a waving hand?
Yeah, it is what you said. And I think the only way you can really fight a Christian battle is to be thoroughly aware of what the Bible teaches and how Jesus wants us to fight the battle. You can't fight a Christian by putting your Bible on the shelf and collect dust.
Yeah, or even by the preaching or by the teaching of someone else, right? I mean, that's a very good point. Thank you for highlighting that. Is this the way you think about your Christian life? Yeah. Yeah. It is a nice thought, yeah?
As opposed to the
Eric's. Yeah, it's a hard concept. Other thoughts? Yeah? Ian?
It's such an obvious thing. The Bible is just very apt. It's describing to us what we need, and it describes, this is just one of the descriptions of the Christian life.
Right.
There are times and seasons and days and hours that feel like a battle. And there are times that it's easy to feel like we're sitting
So I think it's an important point, and I don't want to come across, by the way, in any way in this class to say this is the only metaphor. This is just a useful one at the moment for us to be thinking about. Particularly, I must say, coming off of Michael's class, I was struck by the number of battles David was in. Did you notice that? I mean, many of them very overt battles where he took on the Philistines or he took on Goliath or he took on... And then there were a lot of battles we talked about that had nothing to do with an army. You know, I mean, he had his battles with how he dealt with his own sin, right? Over and over and over again. And how he dealt with his own family. There were battles like that. Now, some of those ended up being real battles, but it was a striking thing, actually, to realize just how much in David's life, the man after God's own heart, was centered around being a warrior. Mark?
Sometimes in the battle, most of the time, I find it a challenge. A lot of things in life, there's a challenge. You've got to make a decision.
Yes. Good. Thank you, Mark. Other thoughts? Let me share with you one other one, from my perspective. And that is that the one thing about a battle that is highlighted to me is that, even in a challenge, and I appreciate and I respect it, frankly, and agree with what Mark just said, but let's use that term, challenge. It feels like a situation I'm in. A battle feels like there is somebody out to get me. To be in a battle, there is an enemy. There is somebody I am battling against. Now, as we go through this course, we'll see, there are very clear statements of who the enemy is and the battles that go on there, but there's also battles within ourselves that we struggle through and that we're challenged by. But I got to tell you, one of the reasons why I chose to try to do this class was to help us recognize that there is someone trying to defeat us. Yeah, and many of you may remember, it's been several years ago, but there was a book that came out by Joe Beam, and I think we even used it in a class that I taught called Seeing the Unseen, and it's about this. By the way, it's a great book. I don't even know if it's still in print. I have a copy if you want to borrow it. It will scare the life out of you because it talks about the biblical battle that's going on. It talks about what's going on in the spiritual world. We don't see the spiritual world, and sometimes we forget of these things that are going on. And I like this idea that God gave us because He can demonstrate very clearly there is an enemy. And this battle is... there's somebody out to get me. Now, I know that just because I feel like I'm paranoid doesn't mean I'm not, right? But in this case, there's an aggressive approach here. Jim?
There's another difference. And you mentioned the word, there's somebody trying to defeat me. The other side of it, so God puts challenges in front with the goal of helping us to grow to become better. But there's another kind of struggle where I'm being challenged to give up a core belief and become something different that is worse. And so it's not just that somebody's there trying to change me, they're trying to get me to abandon something that is making me better.
It's a great point. Actually, one of the schemes we're going to talk about is separation. God uses, Satan uses separation very effectively. If he can separate me from the body, the barracks, or the oasis, if he can separate me to stand alone, boy, I am much more vulnerable. If he can separate me to say, I don't need this, he can change things very quickly. I didn't record this reference. I wish I had it this morning, but as I was doing this study, one of the things I came across was, I can't remember where it is. I'll find it for you next week. But there's a reference where God says he allowed these enemies of Israel to remain so that they could learn how to fight. I thought that was an interesting thought. That's the other thing I took from what you were saying there, Jim, is sometimes it's not just that there's someone battling us, but one of the things I think we'll see is God is sharpening us to be able to battle better and being able to distinguish or actually even leverage Satan's attack. God often leverages Satan's attack to make us stronger, to understand things better. Interesting, I think. Earl.
In that same spectrum is what I think is an absolute truth, that there is no room in the average ordinary Christian life, the believer's life, for passivity. There is none. If the passive person gets attacked and his only response is, well, why me? That's not fair. What did I do? And he's totally illusory later on.
Interesting.
We're going to fight the faith. Take hold on the current. I'm sure you will use that.
Yes. That often happens with Earl and I. He often is my straight man to give me the next line. But that's great. It is active. Now, even that armor we talked about. Now, some armor is defensive. In fact, most armor in that list is defensive. And then you have the sword, and then you have things that are offensive in terms of the battle as well. But it's important that we are not passive in this process. I mean, here are some things. Again, part of my objective today, you know, most of you know I'm a teacher by training and background, and so you know you got to motivate, you got to get people interested in the topic, and you do that not just through head knowledge, but through emotional knowledge as well. And so I'm asking you specifically, is this something you feel? Do you feel like you are in a battle? Here's a few scriptures that might support that. It may be a little small for you to read, so let me read that to you. 1 Timothy, actually two or three times in Timothy, he uses this term. I chose the one out of 1 Timothy 6. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In 2 Corinthians, another battle reference. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. One of my greatest fears in teaching this class is how negative this could be, how overwhelming this could be, because we're going to go through and look at specific things Satan does, and frankly, in my life, is successful on. And it could get, I want to start with us understanding, first of all, it's already won. The victory is already won, and quite honestly, the weapons that we have been granted are much greater. We just have to learn how to use them. We have to learn what to do and how to leverage them. I need to learn how to use them. What causes fights and quarrels among you? This is from James. Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. I mean, just an example, not just of an overt battle, but this is a battle that's inside of me that's going on. This is a spiritual battle we are talking about. You know, I thank God that I've never been in a battle, a physical battle. I've just not experienced that. But I can remember vividly, now that we have television and all those things, you know, that first attack on Baghdad, you know, back with the first Bush. It was the first Bush. Watching that on television, petrified. It wasn't impacting me. I mean, directly, they weren't bombing my city. But to see the devastation and impact of a battle was just shocking to me. Could you turn to Matthew 10 real quick, please? Matthew 10. It's a little too long for me to put it all on the screen here, so just read this to you real quick. This is where Jesus is sending out the disciples. So he's sending them into the world, you know, to evangelize, to heal, to address those that are sick. It's Matthew 10, starting in verse 16, I believe. Yes, he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to Gentiles, and they will arrest you. Do not worry what you will say or how you will say it at the time. You will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brothers will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. And I tell you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like the teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim to the rooftops. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head will be numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I chose this verse to just give you a feel for, even as Jesus was sending out his own disciples, he talks very specifically about how difficult it's going to be, the fight they're going to have, the things that are going to happen in their lives. Now, some of those directly happen to them. Maybe some of those illustrations haven't happened to us yet. But they are happening to the body, right? They're happening somewhere around the world to those who are standing for God and for what God's doing. So there may be more than one battlefront here. There also isn't a ceasefire in this battle. You know, we're negotiating peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis and all of these things. There is no ceasefire in this battle. Ever. Something to think about. So what are we fighting for? So maybe we've established that there is a battle going on. What are we fighting for? Sorry? Well, that's a fair statement. You said our souls. We're fighting for our very own souls. I think that's clear. Fine. Okay, so that's our goal. Is that what we're fighting for? Could be. Thank you, John. Yeah, thank you. Other thoughts? Jim, then Earl?
We're fighting for others.
Sorry?
We're fighting for others. We're fighting for ourselves, and maybe not you as the defensive aspect. The offensive side is to take others from our own.
Okay, good. Because he's got many captured. We want to win those back. Yeah, thank you, Jim. Then we'll get back to you. I mean, Earl.
We're fighting for what that passage in 1 Timothy 6 talked to us about. Taking hold of we've been, by our Redeemer, we've been given eternal life. We live forever. We're going to live forever in a dimension far beyond this one. But we can lose that. It can be taken away from us. We're fighting to hold on to it.
Thank you. Good.
I don't know quite to set up an example of what it is to act overtly, as Jesus would want them to open people's eyes to see a different way, to think, process, to act in situations.
Okay, thank you. So I've heard our souls, other souls, the ability to influence others, to take hold of our own salvation. Mark? Fight for faith. Anything else? I see. Thank you.
Fighting for the purity of faith.
What do you mean by that, Steve?
There are many out there who are trying to chip away chunks of it away from the truth and say, this isn't truth. Bad things, and say, these are truth.
church, and we are fighting against, in this, I mean, it's still, you can say it, but it's his followers who, whether they know it or not, are his followers and are serving in his army to weaken God's people by influencing people in the kingdom so that they do side with the kingdom.
Thank you.
Oh, well, come on.
I do. And I agree with that. And especially about the work, I always think to myself, and I've actually written myself notes from my own binder, at work specifically, it's all about protecting the gift. That's the way I feel about it. Because there's so many forces against the gift at work. That I just, and you have to keep your sword out at work. If you just stand there, you just keep little by little, I mean, if you're on the defense, you're going to give an inch this way, but if you dodge this one, then you're going to take a step back, and you just gradually this take over. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I like the way of saying
protect the gift. Thank you for that. Yeah. Earl?
Just a picture that comes to mind. Most of us will remember the same thing you remember when we were fighting in the Middle East in the first World War, and that incredible array of battle gear strewn everywhere, blown to bits, ruined, casualties. That's the result of a battle. And if you compare that to Christianity through the ages, it has been literally demolished. Ruin is laying everywhere. Some of it today is still called Christianity. It's so ruined, it's a joke. Not even close to Christianity. And the ruins are strewn for 2,000 years of history of this battle going on. And it's scary, because the goal would be to make us another ruined department of war for Christ.
That's a great point. We've got a couple quick scriptures here on this. You know, who said this, by the way? Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Jesus said that. Now, we could go into a whole discussion about Job and God and Satan having these interesting conversations, and it sure sounds like maybe Satan had this kind of conversation with Jesus at this point, but what's the point? Satan wants to sift us as wheat, you know, just interesting, scary. For he has rescued us, I'm reading now from Colossians 1, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. The dominion of darkness? Huh. So we're fighting for that forgiveness, and interesting. I'm now looking at Romans 1. Verses 29 to 32 says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. I just got to read that again. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only do them, that these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. I'm not always a doomsayer or a conspiracy theorist, you know, that kind of thing. But this is a pretty good description of where we are today, I think. If you look around the world that we find ourselves in, you could find and it's been true for 2,000 years. I'm not suggesting today is different. But it is true today, as it was then, that these things exist and that are battling against us. You know, and we're fighting against this. So the question becomes, who are we fighting against? John?
Well, I want to make a comment.
Okay.
And, of course, he's not more powerful than God uses. see on TV a lot of times, you know, and he does will power, and he certainly can, you know, sift us,
yeah,
absolutely, and shake us, and you know, we saw the power that he has, like in the book of Job, you know, and, he affected all parts of Job's life, except Job didn't be affected, but I mean, he really turned Job's life around with the power that God gave Satan to use it.
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to spend all next week talking just about what John just discussed. We need to know who this individual is, what he is capable of, what he's not capable of, what he does and what he doesn't do. Those things are very important for us to have a context for. I'd encourage you, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, if you haven't read C.S. Lewis's old book, The Screwtape Letters, recently, pull it back out, read it again. It's a fascinating little book. It's a collection of letters supposedly written. I mean, it's you know, of course, it's not real, so it's not scripture. I'm just trying to say this is a fascinating story of a senior devil writing notes to a junior devil on how to tear apart his whatever he called him, his patient, yeah, and how to address that. Fascinating set of things about humanity and about Satan actually revealed in that as well. But we are fighting a very, very strong, powerful enemy. Again, we're going to go back to Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. I realize this is only part of the verse. There's more of the verse that makes this a positive thing, and we'll spend a lot of time on that. But let's look at, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I tell you, if that doesn't shake you a little bit, I'm not sure you're listening. Because some of us, you know, may be prepared to fight in a physical method. You know, Josh and I took karate when we were young. When he was young. I'm still not young. I never was young. And it's not going to defend me. I only thought I had to use it once. It was after a Cleveland game. After the Steeler-Cleveland game in the parking lot. I came close, but I didn't have to use it. You know, I was safe. And that would have been a flesh and blood kind of thing. This is much more scary. Sir?
Yeah, that reminded me of Peter. When Jesus came in to tell him what's going to happen, Peter says, no, it ain't going to happen. And he was thinking physically. He was fighting me, and all the air was cold.
Yeah.
So, and he was told it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how close Satan was right there. And he had taken up a different aspect. So we can be sincere about what we want to do. But still.
Absolutely. Interesting. Interesting thought. We'll spend some time with that. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I have personally been in two congregations that have split, and people lost track of who the enemy was. The enemy became somebody else in the congregation. Well, frankly, we just came through a political environment where we could argue the enemy is whatever we don't personally agree with, right? You know, I mean, got to tell you guys, Satan's strong because I'm driving down the road. I see a bumper sticker from that other side that I wasn't supportive of, and my heart changes to that person. Boy, that's the wrong enemy. Thank you, Dave.
As a sinner, Satan is all over the world. There's not
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. It's a great point. I want to look at this second passage here real quick. This is from Revelation. And the war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. Now, wait a minute. So it took Michael to fight him, and he threw him to earth, and that's who we're fighting against? The one who the Archangel Michael fights against?
Whoa.
It's a little scary to think about, at least it is for me, that this is this is a spiritual being with an enormous amount of power. But again, I'm going to tip you. It's not equal. We're going to talk about that a little bit next week. But there seems to be this view that good and evil are the opposite sides of the same coin. They're not. God and Satan are not the opposite sides of the same coin. We'll talk about that a lot next week. There is no comparison. They are not of equal power. Even though they're strong, as Duke says, and a heck of a lot stronger than I am, they're not of equal power. And we've got an opportunity in that. Earl was going to comment.
Yeah, that just puts out how we need the power that is the enough power. I think the three words out of the scripture you already quoted ought to get our attention. Spirit hosts. That means there are spirit beings, and there's lots of them. Hosts of wickedness. They're not good guys in heavenly realms. We don't see them, but they are here. They are powerful, and we have to interact. We have to have something coming wickedly from them to us in this time.
He even refers to them as, Peter suggests that we need to be alert and sober mind because the enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Not the shadow box with, to devour. And is it just Satan? He answered, the one, this is Jesus speaking, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. You recognize the parable, right? The parable of the good seed. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. Remember that story? It's about the good seed being sown, and you know, some fell on hard soil and some fell among weeds, and the weeds choked them out and they died. Well, that's what we're talking about here. That's the battle that we are talking about. So as we come close to the ending of the class this morning, let me just ask you a few questions to get you thinking about this topic a little bit more. Do you know the enemy? And again, I want to very purposely remind you, this is a battle. There is an enemy. The enemy is trying to devour you. The enemy is not you. The enemy may influence you, may have an impact on you, but is trying to devour you. What about, do you know how they wage war or wage battle? Do you know what the tactics they use are? You know, it's a good idea if I'm going to go fight somebody to know how they're going to attack me or what kind of things I can expect from them. Can we be victorious? Sometimes it may not feel like it, but of course the answer is yes. And what defense and weapons has God provided? I mean, breastplate of righteousness. Sounds interesting and it sounds like it's powerful, but how do you use that tomorrow? The helmet of salvation? How do you use that? Well, that's what we hope to talk about. And I found this scripture, and I really think it's interesting. Perhaps maybe we can leverage this in this class, that if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So if this class together, we make this successful, we'll sound a call so that we can get more ready for battle. Here's how I'd like to run the class over the next few weeks. We'll start with this discussion today, which is, you know, we're in a battle for your heart and mind, which is what we've been talking about today. Next week, we're going to spend some time talking specifically about know your enemy. Originally, I thought that I was going to teach the whole class on that topic. It's much too hard for me. I know pieces and parts of it, but we will talk about that in some respects, and we'll ask others more qualified and knowledgeable than myself to help lead that in the future. But that's, we're going to spend time on that next week. And then for the rest of the time together, we're going to talk about specifically the schemes. You know, what is the temptation process? I found a few references from a couple people, actually Doug Fields being one, that have described this temptation process. I think Doug did it in the devotional once, and I've got a couple things for you to think about. I think that would be interesting. If you can understand what is the process that is used every time for temptation. It's interesting. Then we're going to look at some specifics like separation, like lies, like pleasure, like pain and fear, like guilt, apathy, relationships, success. I will actually add to that in parentheses over this week, and failure, distraction and fatigue. All things that have direct examples of where Satan uses them, and thankfully, specific tactics that can be used against them. And we'll spend time with these. Most of these, as you recognize them, come out of that key passage in Ephesians, but not all of them do. There are a few others that I think are important for us to put together. So what we'll do each week is we will spend a portion of the time talking about the tactic. And then we'll spend a portion of the time, we'll talk about the scheme, the way that, you know, Satan attacks us. And then we'll spend the rest of the time together talking specifically about the tactic, how we can use it practically, and how it can help us combat that specific scheme of the devil. Does that make sense? Kind of see how we're going to flow through this a little bit and what we're trying to do. Brian?
Can we get copies of your notes?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
what I'm hoping to do, and the reason why it says a little bit of a technical issue for me, is what I'm hoping to do is to put this up on a website so that you can download them in an easy fashion, and it doesn't then require me practically to try to have to copy them for everybody or send them to everybody individually. I haven't quite figured out how to do that. The other thing that I'm going to ask you to pray for, because I'd like to try to be able to do this, it's a little harder than you might think, but what I'd like to be able to do starting with week 3 is for each week to have available to you an electronic devotional. What I mean by that is just a simple scripture and 2 or 3 songs that will relate to particularly the tactic for each week. And if we did this right, if this is useful, and one of the things I'm going to ask for you out of this class is if you find this useful, to let me know if you think this is useful or how I could improve this process. But the idea is, you know, on that website or wherever we're able to download things, you can each week go, let's say you're working, and we've talked about lies, and you can download a short devotional or two on truth and how truth can help you through scripture and through song. Hopefully we can, as Ephesians says, we can, you know, greet each other with psalms and hymns to be able to help us put a little more strength behind our own ability to apply that tactic. It's a little harder than you might think to try to pull that off, but I think we can do that. And I'd like to be able to do that, because then you walk away from the class with something, hopefully knowledge and experience, but also then you've got something in your MP3 player, perhaps, that you can use to address a specific time or issue where you might need a little extra encouragement or thought. concept. So you see what we're going to try to do, how we're going to try to do that? Hopefully this will work. Be patient with me if I don't get them all done in the right time frame, or because it's a little bit of work. But any questions, concerns, or emotional outbursts as we end the class? I do that at work. I say that at work all the time, and people are now giving me emotional outbursts at the end of my sessions. So let's end with a quick word of prayer, please. Father, we ask for your blessings to help us see Satan and what he's doing in our lives, and help us, Father, to see the victory you've already given us and to claim the tools, the processes, weapons that you have provided for us to be able to fight this powerful enemy. We ask your blessings on this class. In Jesus' name, amen. No, no thing anymore. Huh.
Thank you.
Sure. Oh, maybe
have you studied the Roman shield?
No.
Covered with leather, so that it could be soaked in water. Like immersed in water. to repel the flaming arrows.
Oh, interesting. I'll ask you to share that when you get there. I've all of a sudden lost the... Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
Hey, John. Good to see you, sir.